You're listening to the University of Michigan in Ann Arbor.
This is Jim Erickson. I'm speaking with Professor Don Zak, a microbial ecologist at the School of Natural Resources and Environment. Don works at an experimental forest in Wisconsin, where he studies the way trees might respond to mounting levels of carbon dioxide in the coming decades. Specifically, he's been looking at aspens and birches. Don, based on your results from the Rhinelander Experimental Forest, what's likely to happen with birches and aspens in the coming decades?
Our experiment investigates how these two ecologically important tree species in the Lake States will be affected in their ability to obtain growth-limiting nitrogen from soil. At current atmospheric CO2 levels, birch and aspen are equivalent competitors for obtaining nitrogen from soil. Under elevated CO2, which has a growth-enhancing effect, birch become much better, and if trees in the field behave the way they do in our experiment, it suggests that as carbon dioxide accumulates in the Earth's atmosphere due to human activities, that birch will become better at obtaining growth-limiting nitrogen from soil. And in areas where birch and aspen grow together, it suggests that birch may outcompete aspen.
So decades from now, our grandchildren, great-grandchildren, might see a forest that has more birches than aspens. Is that what this is suggesting?
It would suggest that where these two trees occur together, side by side, that higher concentrations of atmospheric CO2, which will happen at the end of this century, will cause birch to be a better competitor than aspen, and where they occur together, birch will likely increase in their dominance.
Don, carbon dioxide is a heat-trapping gas blamed for global warming, but increased levels of CO2 also have a fertilizing effect on trees and other plants, making them grow faster. So some might say that rising levels of CO2 will benefit forests and crops because it will make them more productive. Is that a valid conclusion?
It is true that higher concentrations of atmospheric CO2 cause plants to grow faster. And it would be erroneous to broadly extrapolate from that simple effect. What's actually happening is that humans are altering not only carbon dioxide in the atmosphere, but also a number of other factors that influence plant growth. What we really need to understand is how higher levels of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere are going to interact with a number of other climate change factors, like higher ozone concentrations, warmer temperatures, altered precipitation. All of those factors have the potential to negate the growth-enhancing effect of atmospheric CO2 on plant growth.
So tell us a little bit about how these experiments are conducted at the 38-acre Rhinelander Experimental Forest. How do you expose these trees to elevated levels of CO2? What's the setup there?
The technology that was developed to accomplish this experiment is really quite unique, and it enables us to grow trees outside that are not confined within chambers to raise the atmospheric CO2 concentration. Rather, they're grown in the open air, and this is one of several experiments in North America to understand the effects of atmospheric CO2 on forests. And if you could picture in your mind, this experiment is somewhat like a large high-tech Stonehenge, in that there is a ring with vertical stanchions that go up into the air. And it would be more or less like a Stonehenge built from PVC pipe, large PVC pipe, that are held up by telephone poles. And in the center of this ring is a weather station that monitors wind speed and direction. The weather station talks to a computer that opens valves on these vertical stanchions that go up past the tree canopy to open up and release CO2.
So it's a ring of vertical PVC pipes held up by telephone poles. And the ring, is it something like 30 meters across?
The ring is 30 meters in diameter, and there are 12 of these rings in a roughly 32-acre field.
So in a way, this experiment is like a time machine. It provides a glimpse at the forests of the future.
That's exactly right, Jim. Our experiment was designed to be a window into the future, to help us anticipate how rising concentrations of atmospheric CO2 and ozone are going to alter the way forest species interact, and to understand how ecosystems will function in a world where carbon dioxide is twice that of pre-industrial levels. Michigan will be a different place in a world with global warming. And Michigan's forests have responded to climate change in the past, especially since the last glaciation. Species have moved around the Great Lakes landscape to a large extent, and they're still moving today in response to that past climate change. Our best computer models suggest that the climate of Michigan will likely be that of southern Illinois as greenhouse gases accumulate in our atmosphere. The big questions that remain outstanding are how rapidly can species migrate to the rapid warming that we're inducing on the planet? Species in the region migrated rather slowly as glacial ice retreated during the last ice age. But the rate of warming that we're causing is much more rapid, and there's great uncertainty how plants and animals can disperse into areas that will be suitable for their growth.
I've been speaking with Don Zak, a microbial ecologist at the School of Natural Resources and Environment. Thanks, Don.
Thanks, Jim.
This has been a production of the University of Michigan News Service. Visit us on the web at www.umich.edu/news.